This is Radio Lin, KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial, coming to you from our studios at PubliSalud in the city of San Fernando. This is Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions with experts and leaders in these fields. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo. I welcome you again to another episode. Today is another special day. We have in studio a very special guest, a longtime mentor and friend, and so much to say about her. But today we have Trinit La Solteo Rodriguez. She is featured in a new book, Voices from the Ancestors. Trini is the co-founder of Tia Chucha's Centro Cultural and served as executive director until February 2018. She is a graduate of CSU Northridge. She has experience as an educator, editor, writer, interpreter, business manager, and mentor. Trini was adopted by a Navajo Nation Diné family. Trini conducts women's sweat lodge ceremonies and talking circles for personal and collective healing. She views the arts and the recovery of ancestral knowledge as necessary to reconnect people to their natural creative capacities as artists and thinkers whose combined gifts can help realign our world to its most caring, transformative possibilities. Active all her life, she writes, speaks, and strives to impact systemic social change so that we may fully express our authentic selves and live the lives we were born to lead. The book she's featured in is brings together the reflective writings and spiritual practices of Chicanx, Latinx, and Afro-Latinx women and male allies in the United States who seek to heal from the historical traumas of colonization by returning to ancestral traditions and knowledge. This wisdom is based on the author's oral traditions, research, intuitions, and lived experiences. Wisdom inspired by and created from personal trajectories on the path to spiritual conocimiento or inner spiritual inquiry. This conocimiento has reemerged over the last 50 years as efforts to decolonize lives, minds, spirits, and bodies have advanced. Yet this knowledge goes back many generations to the time when the ancestors understood their interconnectedness with each other, with nature, and with the sacred cosmic forces. A time when the human body was a microcosm of the universe. Reclaiming and reconstructing spirituality based on non-Western epistemologies is central to the process of decolonization, particularly in these fraught times. The wisdom offered here appears in a variety of forms and reflective essays, poetry, prayers, specific guidelines for healing practices, communal rituals, and visual art, all meant to address life transitions and how to live holistically and with a spiritual consciousness for the challenges of the 21st century. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and take a music break. And when we return, we'll go ahead and start this discussion with Trini.
We are the tribe that they cannot see. We live on an industrial reservation. We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us, but we can see them. We are the Halusa Nation. Our DNA is of earth and sky. Our DNA is of past and future. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the evolution, the continuation. The Halusa Nation. The Halusa Nation. I We are the Halusa Nation.
Welcome back. That was Hallucination featuring John Trudell and Northern Voice by A Tribe Called Red. You're listening to Platicando y Mejorando. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo. And as I mentioned before the break, we have the wonderful Trinit La Soltel Rodriguez here in the studios. How are you, Trini?
I'm doing great. And first of all, I want to just say how excited I am that I was invited onto the show, because it's a real big deal, I think, to all of San Fernando Valley that we have our own radio station. So I really encourage people to tune in, because this is important.
I agree. And it's great to have you here for a number of reasons. You are you grew up in the area, right? Mm-hmm. You grew up in Pacoima. I know you were gone for a little bit and then came back.
Yes.
And so it's wonderful to have folks from the community that have done and continue to do so many great things, to have your voices in the show, especially for younger generations like myself who recognize that in many ways we're continuing the work that you and many others have started. So it's really an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today. Just a little something that we always kind of like, I feel like when we see each other, right? We don't mm-hmm. see each other very often, but mm-hmm. I guess it's important to note that I met Trini over 10 years ago now.
Yes.
When I started over at Tia Chucha's. Mm-hmm. And I still remember that very first day that I went in, and I was like, oh, I would like to volunteer. And then you interviewed me, and
yes.
And there I was the following week, I think it was on a weekend at some event or something. And then eventually I got hired. But something that seems to always come up when we see each other is you mentioned that, you know, I sing and whatnot, and how quiet I used to be and stuff,
yes,
like that.
Yes, that's used to be is the way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not used to be. I'm still quiet in some ways, but and I always credit you with helping me in that path, on that path to find my voice, because mm-hmm. Possibly if it was not for you encouraging me to involve myself in Son Jarocho, mm-hmm. When we were back, I think it was in like Lakeview Terrace at the time, mm-hmm. You noticed that I was interested, because mm-hmm. maybe I was looking over or something,
right.
at the session, and you're like, oh, you should go over there. And so you encouraged me, and I'm never going to forget that, mm-hmm. because it was such a Son Jarocho was so instrumental and mm-hmm. fundamental in helping me find my voice and shedding fear and a lot of things. So I thank you for that again.
Yes, I recognize a lot of times when I look out at our community and how reserved we are, and sometimes how humble and modest we are. And sometimes that can be confused with, you know, just self-restraint. But I think a lot of times the seed of it sometimes is the fear to be present and to be fully engaged, because we've been taught to stand back and to somehow stay in our place. And that's something that's that can be really troubling to our own development. So when I see that, I tend to want to draw people out, because I know there's more in there. I know that because that was true for me as well.
Yeah, so I thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's great to have you here. I mentioned before the break that you're featured in a new book mm-hmm. that came out maybe a month or two ago.
Right.
Voices from the Ancestors. Mm-hmm. You have a piece in there on healing circles, among other things. Mm-hmm. I did have a chance to read it. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about... you know, the book itself as a whole, mm-hmm. Some of main points is reclaiming, revaluing, putting at the forefront ancestral wisdom. And actually, you know what, let me backtrack before that, actually, because as I was looking over your bio, I noticed your name, right? Trini La Soltel Rodriguez.
Right.
And I think it's a good entry point into the discussion to talk about how it is that you came to mm-hmm. take on this name Tla Solteo, and what does it mean?
Sure.
And why is it important to reclaim ancestral knowledge?
Well, I think it's important because in reclaiming what our inheritance, which is basically the understanding that our parents and generations before them accumulated, that's our biggest wealth. Our biggest wealth is where we come from, who we are, how we can stand in the world. And that the way that the book presents our information, it's in the context that a lot of that has been stolen. We know our history is one where we used to be very much in tune with nature, with all the values and all the things, the lessons that nature can teach us about ourselves and about all our relations. And unfortunately, with colonization, with settler colonialism, we've been separated from a large part of that. And so, reclaiming our history and our understanding, whether we're, and sometimes ancestral knowledge can sound like it's something so academic or that wisdom is somehow some mystical thing. No, it's what our grandmothers knew, it's what our mothers knew, it's what our tios and abuelos knew. And so it's so important for us to touch base with that. And so I know that in my family and perhaps in yours and others, a lot of times the way that this separation even from ourselves happens is the colorism, sometimes even in our own families, where if you look Indio, like, and I looked India because I was dark and I am dark, that was looked down on. And so the schools, also press on that also, if you're not really white or mainstream and you don't see yourselves in those in the books and in all those things, then somehow you have to assimilate and try to be that. And for a long time, I was very much separate from that. And thank goodness that in my life there's been things that have led me further and further into my reconnection with myself and with my ancestry. And so that when I turned 65 and in the Mexica cosmology, it's really important that every 13 years we renew and we step into a new stage of our life. And 65 is one of those years. And so in that year, I was really blessed to have been part of a ceremony where I was given my name, Tlazoteot. And people get their names historically in our culture by the day you were born, by the year you were born, it's all the way up to the 15 minutes of your birth date. And so it was, so reading my name, my energies basically, Tlazoteot is aligned with basically the weaver, the one that takes the discarded things and makes of it, life and creative, something creative. And so that's the kind of energy that I carry, and it's the kind of energy that apparently is the true for people that do temezcales, which is what I do. I do sweat lodge, and I didn't know that until then, actually. And so that's again just an indication of we can walk around with the energies that we have, and if we don't fully understand where they are and what they are and what they mean, and also your energies are positive and negative, which means that you can carry energies that that can be useful, but also if you're not careful, they can also be negative. And so it's really been very important to me to reclaim that part of myself, and it's not just a name that you get, but you also have responsibilities that if that's your name, then you want to carry those energies well. And so that's my charge. It just like it's all of our charge to carry our energies well.
Thank you for that. Yeah, just important to note, you mentioned Mexica, right. Otherwise commonly known as, and maybe mistakenly known as, the Aztecs.
Right, exactly.
But more specifically, mm-hmm. the Mexica, mm-hmm. Which is something I learned when I was at the Etruchas, of course, mm-hmm. and among so many other things. But thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. I think we'll go ahead and take another music break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll go ahead and continue the discussion. This next song is Caracol, and this is by Chancha Via Circuito. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you when we get back. Welcome back. You're listening to Platicando y Mejorando here on KROJ 101.5 FM. Coming to you from San Fernando, this is your host, Silverio Pelayo. And once again, I'm here joined by Trini Tlasoltero Rodriguez. Again, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. Going to go ahead and continue here with our discussion. A central theme of the book is healing, right? Healing and wellness. Right. And so I like to ask this of the guests that come on, specifically folks that are directly involved in this type of work. What is healing and what is wellness for you?
Healing and wellness for me is again this aligning ourselves to who and what we are, and healing in particular, I think for our people, which is, and when I say that, I mean those of us who have a history of having, you know, been from Mexico, and really we're migrants. We traveled all the way up and down from central Mexico and below, all the way up to Utah. So we know that we're well acquainted with these lands, and so healing is to try to reconnect with that part of us that has always belonged and that's always been sacred, and to address those things that have taken that part of us away, this feeling of not belonging, this feeling of not being okay. And I think that's it's a really deep issue. I know that in our communities, for instance, the rate of suicide and depression and stress and all those things, those are indicators that we're not well. It doesn't mean that we can't be well, or that down in our core we aren't well. It's that we have all these layers of things that have been told to us and done to us that weigh on us and that prevent us from getting to our core. And so part of the healing is to get to address all those things so that we can get all those layers off and be back to our full selves, our creative selves, our most potent, capable selves. That's what healing is to me. And, you know, it's interesting when you introduced the program, I was glad to hear that you named about six or seven things, you know, that when we're well, we have to look at that there's a lot of aspects of ourselves that has to be well. We have to be physically well, emotionally well, psychologically well, spiritually well, mentally well. And all those things have something to do with service, right? It has to do with, are we getting healthcare? Do we have a home that we can feel safe in? All those different things are aspects of being well. And so to me, wellness is not so much, are you individually well, which is of course important, but we want to be individually well so that we can contribute to the wellness of our collective community. That's what wellness is. It's not just being well as an isolate, but being well in connection to others. That's what wellness is to me.
Wow. That was such a beautiful answer and definition. I think you hit it right on the nail on the head. The aspect about not belonging, because I think something universal, right? Oh, yeah. I think it's a universal experience. Mm-hmm. And I really, really love that answer and how you view healing and wellness. And I definitely relate, as mm-hmm. you know, as far as belonging. And mm-hmm. I appreciate you mentioning or alluding to, as the book, right, it takes a central focus on contextualizing the importance of ancestral wisdom and healing with colonization, right? Which
there's
is
no escaping it.
Yeah, which I was introduced to when I went off to school, right? Because mm-hmm. I did ethnic studies, and like that's the main focus mm-hmm. of ethnic mm-hmm. studies is taking a look at that event and seeing how it has shaped and continues to shape mm-hmm. The reality of really the world. If you look at that, a lot of that discourse and academic work, it really is a global phenomenon, right? If we think about capitalism, for example, right. as a global phenomenon, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you could say it started in that choque or that mm-hmm. Coming together of course, Europeans and all that. But and I appreciate how you also you mentioned how wellness isn't just about being individually well, but it really to be well implies for everybody to be well. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that also. It's so easy to get caught up in our own self-righteousness, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I often see that when I think about the state of the world, I often see that as one of the major roadblocks, right? When it comes to like really making changes, like oftentimes folks can't see beyond their own wounds, right? And mm-hmm. And then it becomes your wound is like becomes a self-righteous crusade. So I appreciate you bringing that, making sure to note that it's really about all of us.
It is because wellness implies responsibility. First of all, if we've been given this sacred life, this chance to be here and to experience and to know what abundance is and what it looks like to be in proper relations, then isn't it our responsibility to try to care for that so that it can be handed to the next generation, and also not just the next generation, but also our generation and the people who are still here from prior generations, so that we're all well, because that is what the environment is. The environment we live in is how, is it well or is it not well? And that implies that we have some responsibility to make it so if it's not. And that of course then means we have to look at, what does wellness look like? What is it that's off that we have to realign? What is it that we still have to address? And not be afraid of it, because if we are, and I know we are, we're very capable, but a lot of times we have all these protectors around us because it's not a safe world, and so we go inward and we isolate because it's not safe. But it's our I think our responsibility to make it safe. Make it safe.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. I'm also glad you mentioned the responsibility of service, mm-hmm. right? Because and that ties in so well with the notion of wellness as a collective endeavor, because that also implies the capacity to serve others. Really, mm-hmm. that and that is really the that's justice in a way, is it not?
It's
wellness is justice, mm-hmm. and being able to give of yourself. It is a type of reconciliation, right? Mm-hmm. Of our self-righteousness, mm-hmm. right? The balancing of the self-righteous impulse in mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate that tremendously. And I can't help but also think about, as you mentioned that, and I love how you connected like all aspects of ourselves as contributing to be of service, the mind to mm-hmm. be of service,
yes.
the body to be of service, mm-hmm. The heart to be of mm-hmm. service, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. That's so beautiful. And then I can't help but think how a good chunk and portion of our culture is so opposite
to
that.
It is.
Yeah.
Which I think goes back to your point about the kind of that it's a worldwide problem, to the degree that we've gotten away from an appreciation of our connection to land and what we can learn from it, and then we want to dominate the land and we want to control the land and we want to just take all the resources without any real thought of the impact, you know, going forward. It's also immediate, and it's a practice that's so lacking in consideration. Because we have to consider, if we don't consider it now, we'll have to consider it later. And better to do it now, because not to do it now is to be basically irresponsible. And so unfortunately, too much of the culture that we've been surrounded by teaches us to not be responsible.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. We're going to take another music mm-hmm. break. And when we return, we'll continue this lovely discussion. This next song is Amor en Francia. And this is, Amor en Francia. I hope you like it. And when we return, we'll continue.
Los celos,
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that musical selection. Again, that was Amor en Francia, and that was by Quantic and Nidia Gongora. You're listening to Platicando y Mejorando here on KROJ 101.5. This is your host, Silverio Pelayo, and again, joined by the wonderful Trini Tlazolteo Rodriguez, discussing a variety of topics, but centering on the release of the book that she's featured in, Voices from the Ancestors. I wanted to ask you, Trini, we've been discussing the topic of healing and wellness, mm-hmm. and of course the book, and I had mentioned I got a chance to read the piece that you have in the book, and among other things, your piece is on your work as a healing circle facilitator. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you, what is a healing circle and how can it nurture healing?
Okay. Well, it's a good question, because actually one of the things that I did when I wrote this piece and is I talked to my dad, my Navajo dad in Arizona, and he made it a point to say, you know, these are not talking circles. These are healing circles. And he explained that the difference is that in a talking circle, you can just have an exchange of forever of opinions and thoughts and so on. And that's not what this is. A healing circle is when you create the conditions and the space for people to come to, basically, it's like when you do a limpia, when you do a cleansing, you're going to release the things that are inside that are blocking you in your continued growth and harmony as a person, harmony with yourself and with others and so on. And so a circle is, you know, as it implies, it's you come together with a number of people, and generally if someone's having an issue, something they're concerned about, something that they feel needs to be addressed, and they're having trouble doing it by themselves, then they usually ask someone to facilitate a circle so that they can address the issue properly and thoroughly. And sometimes you can expect the circle to come to a conclusion, and sometimes it's just a place to understand more fully what may guide you to a decision that you need to make, or a shift that you need to make, or a process that you need to undergo. And so in my experience as a facilitator for a circle, I've also asked others who have gone to their elders and asked about how to properly do this. And it's important, again, to understand that this is a sacred space, meaning what gets said there stays there, because a lot of times some of the things that we have to talk about are difficult things that perhaps other people don't have the patience or the understanding care to take as confidential, as something that a person is processing and needs to get through. And so it's so the process then is to gather people that the person wants there. First of all, if they want a person that they're going to say they're having an issue in a relationship and they want that other person there. Sometimes they don't want that person there because they want to state things without fear of repercussions, that they just want to understand better for themselves so that they can stand more firmly in what they need to do. So, I can go through the logistics of what is involved in a talking circle, but the most important thing is that people are there to help themselves get to a place of understanding that has to do with, again, those numerous things that we have going on inside of us all the time, our physical, our spiritual, our emotional, our psychological, all those things, so that we're in a better place to move forward. So that's what a talking circle is for. It's again, it's not a talking circle, it's a healing circle. Healing because, again, we're trying to realign. we're not just trying to repeat or to use it as a sounding board or to get somebody to agree with us. We're there to try to come to the truth of what it is that we need to address. And that sometimes is a scary thing because it implies things that perhaps we haven't had gathered ourselves to do properly before, and now you know, the person is ready to do it differently so that they can have a different outcome. That's what a healing circle is for.
Yeah, thank you. And I've had the good fortune of participating in some healing circles, mm-hmm. With you and with Luis, of course. And I could definitely attest to the power and the its conduciveness to healing mm-hmm. From personal experience. Mm-hmm. I can't help but, connect that to, again, the notion of interconnectedness and, mm-hmm. and the circle, right, as a principle and metaphor and law, right, mm-hmm. Of our existence individually and among ourselves, mm-hmm. And how beautiful it is to be able to, you know, maybe for lack of a better word, address the potentially chaotic or the mm-hmm. damaging within us in such a setting, and also tragic that oftentimes we don't have that space for folks that aren't acquainted to these practices or even know about them. Mm-hmm. How tragic it is that we oftentimes we're left again alone, right, and mm-hmm. Disconnected mm-hmm. because we have all these all this rumbling and unexpressed whatever it may be, anger or yeah. grief.
Yeah, and I want to say too that it's tragic in a way that this isn't more common. Because what do we need more than to feel safe enough to be truthful with our heart and with others? And when that's not the case, it's a very lonely place. It's a very, it can be a very sad place because your options then are usually to hide, to not be real, and to not, and the longer we do that, the longer we delay the need to be real and authentic, because that's what we're supposed to be in our lives. We have to be who we are and how we are. And sometimes it's we go through difficult times. That's what every shift is. It's an attempt to get past the point we're at and that phase or that cycle of our life, and so then and move forward. And sometimes in those transitions, they're not properly tended to. And that's when a lot of times some of these healing circles can be necessary. And if they're not present, if they're not available, then it becomes all the more difficult to get through those things. Because as my dad says, and my Navajo dad says, you can't get around it, you can't get over it, you can't get under it, you have to go through it. That's what ceremony is. And in many ways, that's what a healing circle is. It's a ceremony in the sense that it's sacred, and you bring in the elements, the water, the fire, the air, the earth, so that we can, again, reconnect to the most fundamental parts of ourselves and then be stronger for it. And that draws up courage when that happens, if it's done in a way that will allow for that. I know that that in some cases I facilitated healing circles with community organizations and as you know we do that at the Achuchas because we know how important it can be, and you'd be surprised, people who are with each other all the time in a healing circle will find out so much more in a matter of an hour that in a year you wouldn't find out otherwise. And that just means that we're closing the gap, because when we don't know each other very well, we don't know what each other's strengths are, we don't know each other's weaknesses, not so that we can take advantage of them, but so that we can be considerate of it and know how to help, you know, share that situation in a way that isn't harmful, but rather that allows people to continue to grow. So it really is about honoring and respecting where people are and knowing that we all have something to bring to it that can be healing and that can be a blessing, as opposed to, you know, just an onslaught of just keep trudging along and don't address it. And that can be really, really harmful.
Yeah, thank you. Very well said. Yeah, I'm lost for words, but we're going to go ahead and take our last break. Mm-hmm. And then we'll return and close off the show. This next song is Vivir Sin Miedo, and this is by Concha Buica.
Say I gonna burn on fire.
Yo quiero vivir sin miedo.
I'm trying to stay out of trouble.
Yo quiero vivir sin miedo.
Walk away from the madman.
Voy a vivir sin miedo.
From the madman that give me candy.
Quiero vivir sin miedo.
You will never step into promised land, cause God land do not want dirty ships like you, girl. No, I do not want to follow rules. I play my way, that's why they say this girl is on fire. Do not know what is my church, but I know where's my God and what he wants from me now. I know he's always on my side, cause by a miracle I found an angel in you.
Yeah.
And I don't
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is Platicando y Mejorando with your host, Silverio Pelayo, and our very special guest, Trinitla Soltero Rodriguez. You were just listening to Concha Buica, Vivir Sin Miedo. And we've come to the end of our show. Much appreciated. It was a very lovely discussion.
Thank you.
Again, thank you for coming on the show. Hope to have you again very soon when you release your next article or book or books. Mm-hmm. I wanted to also mention upcoming book presentation that you'll be participating in. I have the information here. This will be Thursday, February 20th, from 6:30 to 8:30. And this will be a book reading with yourself, Lara Medina, Marta Gonzalez, Marta Lopez Garza, and Sybil Venegas. And of course, this will be at Tia Chucha's Centro Cultural and Bookstore. Shout out to my Tia Chucha's family. I used to, of course, work there a couple years ago. The address there is 13197 Gladstone Avenue, Unit A, Sylmar, California, 91342. Phone number there is 818-939-3433. And you can visit them online at www.diachucha.org. Trini, if somebody out there listening wants to maybe get a hold of you or, you know, has some questions for you, is there an email somewhere that they can get a hold of you?
Sure. They can email me at trinirod@gmail.com, T-R-I-N-I-R-O-D at Gmail. And yes, so thank you so much for having me. And I'm looking forward to seeing people again at 6:30 on February 20th, which is a Thursday night. Hopefully it's a good time for people to talk about Voices from the Ancestors, because there is a lot of voices in this book. So you'll get a lot of different angles. But I encourage people to look at the introduction. It's quite an amazing, thorough account of why it's so important to reconnect with our ancestors' knowledge. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll see you next time.
Yes. Oh, and I should also say, if people want to hear myself and my husband, we have a podcast, and it's called The Hummingbird Cricket Hour. Check us out online.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Also, if folks would like to purchase the book, I'm sure they can get it at theachucha.org. Or www.theachucha.org.
Yes, or anywhere.
Or anywhere.
Stores or online as well. Yes. So.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.
We are the tribe that they cannot see. We live on an industrial reservation. We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us, but we can see them. We are the Halusa Nation. Our DNA is of earth and sky. Our DNA is of past and future. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the evolution, the continuation. The Halusa Nation. The Halusa Nation. We are the Halusa Nation. Thank you. We are the Halusa Nation.